Salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. When you say, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and you really and truly mean that, the Spirit of God at that moment does what? Deposits within you. Listen, and in essence, the Holy Spirit comes within you. Listen, your spirit is renewed. You have a new spirit. The Holy Spirit is living within you to enable you now to live out this life that you have received, because salvation is a life we receive. It isn't some gift that God gives apart from himself. It is the life that he comes to live within us. Therefore, it's inconsistent. Think about this. It's inconsistent for me to claim that I'm a Christian and live the same old life that I used to live. How can I do that when the Spirit of God is living within me? Repentance means what? A godless sorrow has taken place in my life, and like the prodigal son, slopping hogs, he said, I will. He made a decision. And what did he do? By faith, he turned to go back to his father. And what did he say? He said, I'm going to tell him I know I'm not fit to be here. But he went in faith that his father would accept him. He didn't say, oh my goodness, here's what I got to do. I got to get myself a bath and clean myself up and change clothes, get my hair straightened out and really look good because I'm going to see my father. You know what he did? He got up with slop all over him or whatever they were feeding him in those days. He headed up the road. He must have looked like a hag when his father saw him. But the Bible says the only time in the Bible where God is pictured running. And in those days, dignified people didn't run. And his father went running toward him and put his arms around him and hugged him. And here he is trying to confess and repent and whatever it might be. He'd already settled that in the hog pen. I'm going back to my father where I belong, no matter what happens. And the father forgave him. It couldn't be a more perfect example of genuine repentance and genuine salvation than is found in that chapter. So, for the person who is not a Christian, if you're going to be saved, here's what you've got to do. Now listen carefully. You must be willing to acknowledge your sinfulness before God. There must be, listen, a genuine heartfelt sorrow over the fact that you have sinned against your heavenly Father. This idea of flippantly saying, well, I'm going to trust Jesus. You don't know him. You know, I was saved when I was only 12. But I can remember being under deep conviction and getting on my knees at the altar and weeping because I had sinned against God. Well, at 12, I didn't even know what a lot of sins were. And I think about people today who just live all kind of wickedness in their life, and they say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to join the church. I'm going to tell you, you can go to church. You can join every church, every denomination, die and go to hell. For the simple reason they didn't church joining. Well, I've been baptized, sprinkled, and poured on. That won't do you a bit of good. Well, I teach Sunday school, I sing in the choir. In fact, I've even preached a few times. That will not do you any good. You say, well, now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that if I'm willing to get up and preach and teach and help people to understand the truth that I won't go to heaven? Absolutely not, because listen to what Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many wonderful works? And what is the response of Jesus at the judgment? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is, a man can preach the gospel all of his life. And if he's never been saved by the grace of God, you know what? When he dies, he's not going to heaven. Listen, salvation has nothing to do with good works. You can't clean up your life. Repentance, watch this. Repentance is not cleaning up my past. Repentance is acknowledging my past as wicked and as sinful against God, acknowledging my helplessness and turning to him, asking for his mercy, placing my trust in him because he said if I would come to him, he would forgive me and cleanse me and change my life. It's what he does in us. So somebody says, well, now, but don't you have to clean up something to get saved? No, you can't clean it up. If you could clean it up, there'd be no cross. Listen, we're desperately lost from God apart from the grace and mercy and the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to the realization we need to be saved. Listen, by faith in Jesus Christ with a repentant spirit, when you come to him with that spirit, your sins will be forgiven, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and what happened? You just had an eternal change in your life. Because salvation is an eternal change of your destiny. Therefore, our walk following that eternal destiny change is to be like a godly man or woman.
Thanks for joining us on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. Genuine repentance is more than feeling sorry and wanting to do better. It includes a change of attitude, which results in a change of action. We'll hear more about repentance on tomorrow's program. To listen again, click the link to Today on Radio at intouch.org. And that's where you can find more resources on today's topic and many others. Stop by today. Open the bookstore page if you'd like to order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, God's Call to Genuine Repentance. Again, log on to intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. To write to us, address your letter to In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia 30357. Does it feel like your prayers are a bit stale? Freshen them up with the insights you'll hear in today's Moment with Charles Stanley. It's just ahead.
In Touch Plus is streaming on Local Now, featuring all the best of Dr. Charles Stanley.
We're to have strong convictions based on the Word of God. He's working out things that you and I would never know about in our future.
In Touch Plus, your streaming network for quality Christian programming 24/7.
Now watch this.
In Touch Plus, streaming free on Local Now.
Does your prayer life need a jump start? With the In Touch Praying with Purpose cards, the time you spend talking with God will take on a whole new level of energy and intimacy. Beautifully designed and easy to use, or to share with a friend, there are prayers to lift up each day of the month, along with corresponding Bible verses and more. For your set of Praying with Purpose cards, call 1-800-INTOUCH or go to intouch.org/store.
You're listening to In Touch. Our greatest goal should be to know God better. With encouragement for believers, here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
Once you've surrendered your life to Christ, you must stay in a close contact with Him through prayer. Your prayer life is one of the most important aspects of your life. How do we keep it fresh and new and alive and realize how powerful that is in our Christian life? Well, the first thing we have to do is to recognize that it's our way of communicating with God. You talk to Him, He speaks to your heart. Somebody says, I don't know how. If you start talking to God, I assure you, before long, you'll sense the Spirit of God working in your heart. That is an exciting relationship. And sometimes when a person, for the first time in their Christian life, realizes, God has spoken to me, all of a sudden their Christian life takes on a whole new perspective and prayer becomes exciting. The second thing you have to do to keep it fresh is to believe that God wants to hear from you. And you see, He challenges us in His Word to pray. He gives us prayer promises. He gives us instruction. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, He not only admonishes us to pray when He says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In the sixth chapter, He tells us how to pray. And He talks about going into our closet to pray or praying privately. Then He gives us an example in what we call the Lord's Prayer. You see, in order to make your prayer life really and truly exciting, you have to get into God's Word. Now, He says, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 33:3, He says, call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. What more motivation should anyone need than to realize that God says, if you will call to me, I will show you things that will absolutely amaze you.
Find out more about communicating with God at intouch.org. And if today's program has given you guidance for your spiritual journey, please let us know. Tomorrow on In Touch, we'll hear more about the importance of repentance in a believer's life. I hope you'll join us Wednesday for In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Imagine a friend told you her baby is sick and might even die. You'd feel shock and grief and ask how you could help. You probably would commit to pray for her child and the family. But would anything change if the friend then replied, "Well, thank you. We're hoping that Fluffy pulls through." Well, according to many, it shouldn't. As fertility hovers around an all-time low and pet ownership at an all-time high, more and more Americans not only talk about, but treat their furry companions like they are children. Recently in The Atlantic, Catherine Wu argued that pets really can be like human family. Here's Wu, quote, "Calling some pet owners the parents of their dogs and cats might be the best shorthand for these relationships." Throughout the article, Wu described the growing pet economy of products and services that mirror those that were intended for children. More Americans than ever buy their animals home-cooked food, strollers, memory foam mattresses, their own clothing lines, and they pay for wellness centers, doggy daycares, acupuncture, surgeries, chemotherapy, even organ transplants. In 2022, in fact, the pet economy totaled over $136 billion, and by most indications, is only likely to grow from there. And according to a survey by Pew Research that was quoted in the article, the majority of Americans' 200 million pet owners describe their animals as family. More than half said that their pet is, and I quote, "as much a part of their family as a human member," end quote. And this means, thinks Wu, that it's not only time to normalize talk of pets as children, but it's time to offer owners the same benefits that parents have. For example, she argued, employers should offer paid time off to new pet parents, and pet insurance, and employee benefit packages, and rental properties should have fewer pet restrictions. In short, according to Wu, pet owners deserve, and I quote again, "the same support systems that help people care for any loved ones," end quote. After all, she continued, "psychologically, scientifically, the bond that humans forge with animals can feel as strong as the ones we make with each other, even those with family, even with our kids." And there it is. You see, Wu's argument is built on a widespread but largely unconscious assumption that whatever we feel is what's ultimately true. But that assumption is wrong. What is true, of course, is that pets are a blessing. They can be wonderful companions. They make life richer in many ways. And losing a beloved pet is incredibly hard, as C.S. Lewis warned in The Four Loves, where he said, "If you want a life free from grief, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal." Still, it's also true, crucially so, in fact, that pets aren't people. Animals are not created in the image of God. They do not share the value and the dignity that humans do. Now, it was Christians like William Wilberforce that elevated the treatment of animals in the Western world. However, our current trends of treating animals like offspring is shaped more by the devaluing of humans, especially kids, than by the proper valuing of animals. In fact, another more serious symptom of this cultural sickness is the low birth rate across the Western world, a phenomenon inseparable from the similarly low marriage rates. As a result, millions who would want to be mothers or fathers are left without children to nurture. The pet experience offers them a vaguely parental feeling, but without the life-changing and far more difficult responsibilities of raising a human being. While it's easy to mock things like so-called paternity leave, get it? Fur babies here aren't the real issue. They're just a sign of a culture full of people who are, as author Thaddeus Williams suggests, committed to following their own hearts. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Shane Morris. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to Breakpoint.org.
You can look for love in a lot of places and end up disappointed. Billy Graham knew the source of perfect love.
The Bible teaches that God is love. Forever and ever and ever, God loves you. And if you don't remember anything I say tonight, remember one thing. God loves you.
How can you find that love? By turning your life over to Jesus Christ.
God will put his arms around you tonight and love you and tenderly whisper in your ear that your sins are forgiven because of Christ.
We'd love to help you discover more about God's love for you. Call this number anytime, 888-388-2683. Someone is ready to talk with you and pray with you right now. 888-388-2683. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.